Sympathetic stat boost. Solo arrangement. By Opal Song and Rhea 314.
So the premise is like setting up teams, but teams of two, sort of. And then sets of soulmates would get together into the larger units as divided by their name, letters, whatever.
So soulmates exist, but only hunters and huntresses get soulmates.
Right,
right. Specifically because of the Forest of Death or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, it's not... a, like, genetic thing or even, like, a family predisposition. That's the word I'm looking for.
I don't think so. No.
Right.
It's just...
it's part of the actual training. It's a result of the preparing for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so soulmates are not a thing that happen in, like, for a regular civilian.
Right.
There's no, like, writing on the arm or anything. But it's...
mm-hmm.
But it's also not totally unknown. Like, you know that huntsmen and huntresses always come in pairs.
Right.
They always have a soulmate. Like, it's just part of the popular culture, like, and social knowledge is that this is a thing that happens. But nobody knows sort of, like it's mystique about when they get their soulmates and how they get their soulmates. And soulmates always work so well together. And, like, how do they learn how to do that? Like, obviously, you're meant for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. And so when Ruby and Yang and co get to Beacon, they're like, okay, like, we're ready. So I don't actually have a plot to this one. I mean, we've done a lot of world building, but I don't know where, like, plot wise this impacts, like, I mean the plot is basically canon.
Right. Well, I think what would be interesting would be to explore Penny's acceptance into Beacon. So what, I don't know, what does Team Ruby do to pave the way for that, and other people's reactions to Penny?
Right. Focus on Penny instead of the other soul bonding stuff.
Right. And I guess within the canon, so of our villains, are they also, like...
that is a good question, because Cinder would at least have to pretend to be soul bonded to be in the school, right? The problem is she hangs out with Mercury and Emerald, who are obviously soul bonded to each other.
Right.
You know, so does she talk about how she came over, but her bond partner is sick and, you know, couldn't make the trip, but, you know, she's here to support Emerald and Mercury because she's, you know, she's on their team of four. So, Penny and how she gets, and the villains.
Yes. Because what I was thinking, I don't know if, well, okay, this is, like, really far-fetched and weird, but if it seems like... well, that would just be too strange. Never mind. I was thinking if Cinder doesn't have a person obvious and they're like, okay, Penny, we need to sneak you in. There's this one person who doesn't have their person here. Maybe they'll, like, fake date you, essentially. I don't know if that would make sense.
Okay,
so. It would be just super weird.
I have two responses to that.
Yes.
Firstly, totally makes sense. Not super weird. But please don't do that to Penny.
Right, it would be, well, we weren't writing a dark fic and then.
And that, you know, this AU.
Everything really wants to be awful.
To be a dark fic. I feel like Mercury and Emerald are actually soul bonded.
Agreed.
Wherever they're from, whatever they're doing, they're actually soul bonded. I feel like Cinder is not. Neither okay. is Torchwick.
Okay, so they're just play acting. Torchwick doesn't have to because he's, you know, off on his own.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah. But if they need to, they're their other person. Yeah.
So does soul bonding give you any powers or anything? Like, is there a perk other than how well you work with the person?
I mean, I want to say mostly the perk is how well you work with the person and maybe how your innate magic.
That's what I was wondering if it was
their innate magic. Like
a maybe, magic component.
Yeah, like I think maybe that's a thing. But I also feel like maybe it's a thing that you have to train. Like, it doesn't okay. come automatically. It's not like we're in the forest and suddenly, oh my goodness, you know, your illusions get stronger as they get hit or something. Mm-hmm. In Blake and Yang's case.
Well, it might be interesting to tie it in with the semblance in general, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, definitely it's tied in with the semblance, but it doesn't start right away. Like, you have to, like, sit down and work together on that.
Right.
For it to get stronger. As opposed to just it suddenly, like, suddenly we're mind-melded. Mm-hmm. You know? I feel like mostly it's that you work really well with that person and that your semblance sort of work, you know, they sort of work really well together and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be, like, maybe, like, you're stronger when you fight together, you're faster.
Your stats get an increase.
Yeah, your stats get an increase when you fight together. Which is why they all, like, super lose in the train at the end. I feel like actually that would go down differently. They would not be as
run off on your own, leave people behind.
Yeah. Though I do also feel like I feel like there's a bit of an arc to training. So there's during school when they're trying to get you sort of as dependent on having your partner as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're really trying to, like, force you to work together as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, you sort of have to, like, you can sort of separate. Because we don't really see any of the teachers constantly together.
Right.
With partners. And I'm thinking specifically of Coffee Guy. Their mm-hmm. super caffeinated teacher. And if, again, we were going to go dark fic, we could have it that, like, something happened to his partner.
And that's why he's so, like, off the wall.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And he can obviously still fight, and you could take that really interesting places, like, you know, if his partner died in battle with him, and maybe something happened, and he's got, like, he's got the permanent stat increase, and, you know, something happened to
his semblance always fast because he's
whatever.
Yeah, consistently in hyper mode and can't stop because he doesn't have the other person to.
Yeah, so you could take it that way, or you could say, after school, after you guys have been working together for quite a while, you start to ease up on the, we have to be, like, touching at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we're comfortable enough with each other, we know each other, like, we know the rhythms, whatever, now we can start spending, you know, days and weeks apart, we can take different missions, that sort of thing. And keep that boost, and we can mm-hmm. work with other people, and that sort of thing.
Like, maybe there's that piece of bond stabilization, but also then amplification with the time you spend with the person to the point at which, I don't know if we want to do, like, mind melding levels, but perhaps there's a, the older the bond is, the longer distance the bond can stretch.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Definitely. Yeah, sort of, and how stable the bond is. So, like, right. there can be, you know, couples who have been together for 40 years that still can't go more than, like, arm's length from each other.
And I think that the, so there's sort of two aspects to this that I would assess. There's the stat increase aspect, and I think that's the, some people have to be in contact or very close to one another to get the stat increase. Mm-hmm. Or the bond is very stable, so they can be on opposite sides of the country and still have the stat increase.
Right, yeah.
And then there's a, that in juxtaposition to, like, actually on a personal level needing to be with that person. So that there's a difference between those two. So it's not that, like, you can't actually, like, be in a separate room from them. It's just that your skills are then only your own. You don't have the boost.
Right.
And I think for some people, particularly with weak or shakier bonds, then that is just actually, like, uncomfortable beyond just the, like, I don't have a stat increase. There's some, like, negative implication there, either for, like, oh, it just makes me feel sick, or
like bond, or being far away.
Being far away.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's the way, like, some people, like, actually have to be with each other, and other people, it's like, well, no, I'm somewhere else and I don't have that increase, but it's okay because I can deal with it. So it just depends on the temperament of the people involved. So you can have that spectrum of physically have to be together versus, no, we're super competent and we're in separate places, but we only have our own powers.
And right. Then, sort of there's the emotional closeness component, mm-hmm. and then there's the physical stat component.
Right. And that those two function separately.
Yeah.
So you can have both of them working, or both of them not working, or one of them working and one of them not.
Yeah. And I feel like it's that stat, like, the reason that hunters and huntresses do this is that you, like, you can be okay without the stat boost,
mm-hmm.
but that's what makes you on level.
Right.
With Grimm. Like, that's what makes you able to fight the Grimm. And maybe there's a healing component to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you heal easier, or you're harder to injure, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To it. So, like, you want that stat increase.
Become superhuman. Get a bond mate.
We want you.
Yup.
Yeah. But yeah, and I feel like Ruby and Weiss are one of those couples that they don't stabilize for quite a while.
Yeah. Like, but what they're not stabilized around is the stat boost piece, because the emotional aspect, I think, is just so out the door that they don't even, like, like, yeah. I don't want to be with you in that first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go be in the other room and we'll never ever get a stat boost. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Except that both Ruby and Weiss both fucking want that stat boost.
Right.
They
are united on many things. Their frustration with each other and their goals.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like the emotional component and the stat boost component, they do interact a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the more comfortable you are with each other, sort of, eventually that's going to translate into your bond becoming more stable.
Yes.
So, like, Nora and Ren can probably, like, right from the very beginning, get that stat boost when they're far away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so comfortable with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because, yeah. But not, like, it's not, like, wholeheartedly dependent on it, but it's, you know, there's a little bit of influence there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, Penny, I don't know, because, like, is she part of the, like, she obviously, so she's, she has a soul,
mm-hmm.
and she's a robot.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that stat boost. Like, they've created her with stats that are equivalent to a hunter or huntress by herself.
Are they equivalent to a hunter or huntress by herself, or are they equivalent to a matched pair already?
That's, like, what I meant. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, her stats are equivalent to, like...
a unit.
Yeah, to, like, Ruby when she's with Weiss.
Uh-huh.
So, not like, she's not equivalent to Ruby and Weiss together, but she's equivalent to Ruby when she's with Weiss.
Yes. So, she acts like she has a stat boost, even though she doesn't.
Yeah, because she was created with the stat boost.
Right.
Which means that they can send her to places or to missions or whatever, that it's a solo mission.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going for one of the, like, the three couples that can go that far away from each other in the entire world, they can send Penny.
So that's the impetus behind her creation in the first place.
Yeah, so that she can be a solo agent.
I like that.
Or that they can add her to a couple already to get a three-person team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we can have odd numbers instead of always four people or right. two people or six people or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the impetus, is that she can work by herself. Also that she is an artificial being with a soul.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So they get there, and then they're all like, okay, when do we find out about our soulmates? Or maybe it's like a graduation thing or mm-hmm. whatever, right? And soulmates can definitely be, like, they can be platonic. Like, this isn't a romantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruby's like, of course my soulmate is Yang. Like, you know, all we have to do is get this to be okayed. Like, however that happens, we're good.
Obviously, we live well together. We're related.
Exactly.
Best exactly. friends so, forever.
Yay. And so they're not, like, it wouldn't be weird if they were the same. Right.
Although I think Yang is a little bit, like, she has yeah. this hope that, you know, Ruby will get distracted by someone else and Yang will sort of get to have her own great person because she's, you know, excited about that. It's like, well, yes, I love my sister. She's great. And I'd be happy to hang out with her for the rest of my life, but...
Yeah, yeah. But, like, nobody, if they were soulmates, nobody would look
at right, right, exactly.
the street or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe from, like, super civilians who are like, what?
How does this work?
People might assume they're girlfriends instead of sisters, that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, but... yeah. Well, I guess that's sort of a question, like, if the rest of the society does, like, knows that all hunters or huntresses have, like, a partner, whether, you know, platonic or not. Is there a predominant narrative around that being romance? Like, I can see a lot of, like, I don't know, telenovela kind of drama,
goodness, yes.
whatever. So there's a lot of that, and there's not nearly so much focus on the, like, no, we're not actually banging, we're best friends or siblings, or that's actually my kid. So this is super awkward when you say that that's the thing that happens to everybody, because it really doesn't.
Yes,
but
I feel like also as much as everybody is like romance, and we're going to assume romance at first blush,
but right?
At the same time, it's not like if they're like, no, we're sisters, people aren't going to go, ew, right, you're exactly. banging your sister,
right? Yeah. So everyone always assumes, but there's also, like, if you are a huntress or you actually, you know, are not paying attention to, if you don't live totally under a rock, you understand that's not entirely how it works.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're, like, they get the speech before they're flung into the Forest of Doom, and the speech is mostly the same, but ever so slightly different, because they're like, the first person that you lay your eyes on, don't they say something about, like, oh, what did they say in the show?
Yeah, the first person that you look into their eyes or something like that. Like, you see each other.
And in the show, it's like, be the partner for your rest of
your time at school.
At school. But here it's like, we'll be your soulmate.
Yeah.
And I feel like other schools of hunters and huntresses have different ways of doing this, but Beacons is like, let's fling them all into the forest and see what falls out.
Because that's super rational.
Oh, yeah. So, like, and it's like that. So there's no, like, predestination, this person is meant to be my soulmate. It's like, you got this person, now you gotta fucking work with them for the rest of your life.
But there's something about the forest, too, that, like, makes good decisions.
Yeah, like, it just somehow kind of works, and they never have a... Like, I mean, sometimes they have a bit of a problem, but nothing that can't sort of be worked through.
Mm-hmm.
Though I feel like you could get into really dark territory if you wanted to about things, like, times that it didn't work. Because I'm sure that there are times that it just... Somebody is not meant to be soul bonded to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Like, or soul bonded to anybody else. You could get, yeah, into really dark.
Cardin.
Uh-huh. Cardin's just a bully.
It's true, but yeah. Like, I don't imagine that anyone is really excited to be soul bonded to him. I feel like that could end up poorly.
Yeah. So, yeah, they get flung in, and Ruby and Weiss, their eyes meet, and Weiss tries to go away, but her kind of other choice is Jean, and, I mean,
Ruby's
she already
the better
feels
of two
the pull
evils.
Back to Ruby.
Yep.
So, yeah. And Yang gets Blake!
Yay!
The mysterious girl.
With the adorable bow.
Yes, with the adorable bow. And then they take these soul bonds, and to make them, so I think maybe so that they're not getting too insular into mm-hmm. just themselves,
mm-hmm.
and also they need to, you know, they need to have bigger units. Mm-hmm. They stick two of them together.
Let's socialize you all a little. You can't just be with this one person.
Exactly. And Nora and Ren are the best friends.
Yes.
And they knew. And it's extra important that they have that sloth call this time. Because,
ooh, yes.
You know, because they don't want to be with anyone else. They want to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. And Jean and Pyrrha.
I'm so excited about that. That can be also, I would like that as a slow burn in this world, I think. Because I think John would sort of expect that, okay, like, everyone said this is a romance, but this is Pyrrha, and so I'm not going to do anything because she's so out of my league, and clearly we're just going to be friends, and I'm going to be, you know, like, I'm so lucky that this happened in the first place. So he's just super respectful and supportive and all of that, and, like, keeping his friendship box very neat.
Yes. Yes. And she's like, but I kind of want it to be a romance.
I like the Pyrrha. Extra special, wonderful destiny thing. It would be super romantic and you're kind of cute.
Yeah. Though she does like that he doesn't assume.
That's true.
That he treats her. Because you know that if Weiss had gotten Pyrrha, if that had worked out, like, Weiss would have been all over that. Like, we are the romance for the ages!
There's probably a bit of relief in Pyrrha, like, knowing that that didn't happen.
Yes. Also, seeing the, like, shit show that is Weiss and Ruby.
Hilarity for all.
Except for Weiss and Ruby. For them, it's just stress.
True.
So much stress. But I mean, they work it out. And then obviously, if we're talking other couples, like Neptune and Sun
mm-hmm.
are soul bonded.
I can see that as being like a friends with benefits soul bond, actually.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah, they're bros who bone.
Yup.
And, like, if either of them finds somebody, like, when Sun is like, oh my goodness, that chick is super hot, talking about Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I really want to, like, get together with her and that sort of thing. It's like, Neptune's like, okay, go for it.
Have fun. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah. And if somebody found, like, if one of them found, you know, their true love that they want to spend the rest of their life with, like, that would be cool. But in the meantime, orgasms.
Because those are fun.
Exactly. What else are you going to do with your, like, soul-bonded partner? What, train? Not all of us are Pyrrha.
And Pyrrha's like, well, yeah, I wouldn't object.
I feel like somebody says that at one point. Son is like, well, not all of us are Pyrrha. And Pyrrha's like,
I could not be Pyrrha. I might enjoy not being Pyrrha.
Yeah. Yeah, and John's like, yeah, Pyrrha and I just train. It's great bonding activity. And Pyrrha's like, but orgasms. I want some.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Coco Velvet team?
Mm-hmm.
Coco and Velvet are totally
yes.
And then they have the two dudes on their team who are also so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
actually, like, so I don't think I want this for them, but it would be really interesting if you had a team of, like, two sets of soul-bonded, like, platonic soul-bond friend people who are dating, like, opposite kitty corner, essentially, across the bond units, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that would be neat.
I don't know what team that would be, but.
Yeah. Or the team where, you know, you have the two sets of soul-bonds and it's just orgies all the time. Because why not?
Yes.
Again, I don't know. Cardin's a douchebag, so.
Yeah, not that team. Mm.
No. But he has his soul-bonded guy, maybe guy with green hair.
Hmm. Which is why he accidentally smacks him in the face with an axe on the backswing. Like, that says a lot about the quality Cardin of your bond.
Yeah, Cardin is a douchebag, and we won't get into his bond, because it could be one of those where.
We feel sorry for everyone.
Except for Cardin. Yeah, so this is all sort of set up and it's super awesome and everything's going well. And then Ruby meets Penny.
Mm-hmm. And well, okay, so where are all the relationships at that point? Like, how much have things settled in the, essentially, the first chunk?
I feel like it's kind of like the show.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to stray too far from sort of canon,
mm-hmm.
For relationship-wise. And besides, it's like, while certain people would go, oh my goodness, you're my soul bond, let's be super romantic together, like, we're obviously dating now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like any of our sort of main characters are those sorts of people. Like, maybe Ruby and maybe Weiss, but they're paired mm-hmm. together. So
yeah.
And they're not dating. Oh my goodness. But battle skirts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like I feel like I mean they've only been together for like less than a semester at that point. So like I mean, give them some time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. About where canon is. So everybody's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. And friends with their soul bonded, at least, again, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But yeah, Ruby meets Penny. And I feel like at the beginning, like she thinks that she's a civilian. Like she does in the show.
Yeah.
But it's also because she doesn't have a partner. Like, there's that extra little, like, why are you a civilian? Because you're walking around, because you don't have a weapon visible, because of this, because of that. Also,
and you're by yourself.
You're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they fight at the end of season one, like when they fight at the docks there, mm-hmm. first off, Blake is fighting with Sun, which is weird and wrong. She should be with Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did she go off with Sun? Like, she ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And B, Penny fights by herself. She doesn't, like, I feel like they're trained slightly differently. Like, they're not trained to be.
You're trained to function as a unit as well, because you assume that this person is always going to be part of that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not really trained to fight on your own. Like, maybe in a pinch, but
mm-hmm.
generally, you're trained to fight as a unit.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like that could even capitalize on parts of the canon with how well, like, so they have the moves that they call out together, but like with the bond set, there'd be even more, and you might not even need like to call things. It would be everything would be one of those compound, complex, lots of moving parts of your magic and my magic combined together to be even greater and have higher impact. And that's just the default.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the default. And so, I mean, that fight is just wrong in all ways, because like Blake and Sun are doing that, but they're not bonded. And they haven't met Sun's bonded yet. They assume that he's around and maybe have him mention him as a one-off. You know, like, oh, he's coming.
And another part of that fight,
But
like in the actual choreography, there's a lot of Sun and Blake attacking individually. They don't really work in coordination. It's one goes in and then the other goes in rather than doing a combination attack. So
right.
it's even more obvious that like none of these pieces are working together, although they are all working towards the same goal. And then you add in Penny and it's an uneven number and it's just weird.
Right. And like, so yeah, Blake and Sun, they're not working together, but they're at least like they're not attacking together, but they're at least working together, which is.
And we've heard like some reference to Sun's other person, so
Yeah, so like I mean it's just wrong because they're not with their soul bond. They're fighting with somebody else, which is not unheard of, but at the same time, like, we were looking for you. Why did you not wait until Yang was here before you attacked these guys? And then Penny jumps in and Ruby's like, you know, let me come with you or whatever, and she's like, no, you know, I'm combat ready. And jumps down all by herself and just like totally ignores everyone else and doesn't work with anyone. Like there's no lull in her attack for somebody else to do something. Like there's none of that, which there is a little bit with Blake and Sun. The lulls don't always match up. And the attacks don't always match up, but there's at least a bit of that like give and take. Like I'm expecting another person to be there with Penny, there's nothing. And it's just like, you know, fighting style, and she's never referenced having a partner. We've never seen her have a partner. She never sort of, you know, makes a comment and looks over to see if somebody else reacts. Which I could see Sun doing, like him cracking a joke and like glancing to see if Neptune like does it. Only Neptune's not here right now. You know, but having that sort of tick that.
Expected backup.
Yeah. Or, you know, saying something that he knows Neptune is gonna like say something witty, like set Neptune up for a joke, but Neptune doesn't reply because Neptune isn't here yet. But, you know, everything about his bearing says there should be somebody else with me. They're just, you know, not around. Nothing about Penny does that. Which, if you expect her to be a civilian, is not strange. Like, nobody's like, oh, you're really weird because you don't automatically, you know, have somebody else with you.
But as soon as you put that in a fight situation where she's, you know, like,
Yeah.
you obviously actually have a weapon. This is what you're, what?
Yes. And it's just like, how wrong. Like, it just feels wrong. And I mean, Ruby overcomes that. Like when they meet up next, you know, she has so many questions, but she's not like, wow, you're super, you know, wrong and terrible. She's just like, how, what?
But I could also see actually Weiss in that situation. We see Weiss being standoffish and canon already to Penny when they meet her.
Right,
And I
yeah.
think that could be even, you know, like more exaggerated. Like,
Yeah.
no, there is something seriously wrong with this girl. We are not staying here, drag everyone away. Like,
Yeah.
what?
Yeah. Also because, like, I mean, Penny, obviously a fighter, but has no partner. Maybe she's on the prowl. Which she's not, but I can see Weiss thinking that way.
So is that a piece of this universe that people can, like...
I don't think so. I think it's completely unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Weiss's, she might steal Ruby from me.
Uh-huh.
Like, there, you can't.
It's not even logical. It's just like a what?
Yeah, like not, it, this isn't even a, like, thing of Ruby would never do that. But, like, because Ruby wouldn't ever leave Weiss. But also, mm-hmm. like, she can't. Like, it's physically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe in super extreme circumstances with some, like, super, super hardcore intervention, they can do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because of said terrible dark times that we are not thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like you wouldn't recover from that totally. And it's not something that you can just up and decide, oh, no, I don't feel like
mm-hmm.
being your soulmate anymore.
There are some more intense levels to what that would mean.
Hmm?
I think there would have to be some larger structure for, like, if a pairing doesn't work out, like, there is some sort of serious, like, process through which that happens. Like, that could also be, I don't know, part of the media culture. So that people know what that is. So there's almost an incentive not to do that, which is not necessarily a good thing, but I can see there being a lot of shaming on, well, you didn't, like, make that work, or, like, this person was so horrible that didn't work out, and all of those aspects. So that
I feel like it would also sort of in pop culture be a really, really scary, horrible process to go to.
Yeah.
Go through. And also, like, in reality, it's probably a horrible process to go through.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, if like, the leaders at the school or whatever, if they catch it that early, are like, no, this has to happen.
Right. Right.
You know, then they will support you through that. But, like, if you decide, like, later on in life that, no, this is not something I can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's this whole mystique of, it's so awful.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's one thing for, you know, the high school students, and it's another thing, like, within the context of outside of the learning curve, essentially.
Well, but I feel like even if you were a student, if you didn't make it work, you would fail out of Beacon.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that lots of people are just like, I'm going to make it work because I don't want to fail out, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is getting into dark territory.
And then everything was scary and
well, no, because you can go into really dark places with this.
Right, because then you have people who feel like they're stuck in something and they're essentially toughing it out, but you're there for your entire, like, the rest of your life just because you have this intense desire to help other people.
Yeah, and because, I mean, basically what the forest is doing, like, by flinging people in the forest is, like, random chance, who do you have to spend the rest of your life with?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going, lol, Weiss and Ruby, they get over it and fall in love. You know?
Right.
But, and, you know, yay, Yang and Blake, but they don't know each other at all, like, at all. They have met once. All they know is Blake likes reading. That's it. Mm-hmm. I think that is the entire knowledge that they have of each other. And Pyrrha and Jean, like, I mean, everybody knows Pyrrha except for Jean. And Pyrrha doesn't know Jean at all, and he's super incompetent. Like, what is she shackling herself to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Jean, but really, what if he never gets better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ren and Nora is, I think, the only healthy. Like, they know exactly what they're getting into, and they want it.
Alternate universe darkfic.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, honestly, anytime you do, like, soulmate AU where it's not, like, you are destined by destiny to find your destined partner because they're perfect for you, blah, 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 blah. Like, if you're not going to go that route, if you're going to go the route of rando chance, have fun. Like, I mean, you can always take it in a darkfic place.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not taking it in a darkfic.
No, not this one.
No, because guess what? The forest has some sort of magic mojo.
I actually, like, would think, I don't know, if there's something about the forest, too, that, like, I like the benevolent forest.
Yes!
The benevolent forest with the magical conniving, like, somehow it warps people to, like, land in a place that they would actually see each other.
Yeah.
I don't know, because, like,
yeah.
It could be possible.
Or, you know, monsters will flush people into the right directions, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, benevolent forest. The forest of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
The forest that knows you're good for each other. Which means that when Cardin and Green-Haired Guy finally work it out, Green-Haired Guy is a mitigating force for Cardin.
Mm-hmm. Although what would be interesting is if occasionally the forest, if it is, you know, benevolent and helpful, occasionally doesn't find someone a partner. It just heads them out of the forest. Like, maybe that's also a filter system for Beacon. If the forest does have some sort of cognizance on how and what it's doing, if it finds someone that's just super unmatchable, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Here's the question. If there's one person that's super unmatchable, because I assume that they generally fling people in there with an even number.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, okay, we need an even number of graduates. Which could possibly be part of the reason Ruby was accepted, because it's like, oh shit, we have an odd number. This girl's great!
Bump her up a few years, it'll be great.
Yeah.
Hey, her sister's here, we're all set.
Yeah. But yeah, like, but what happens to that other person? Like, a person who is totally matchable?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if there are, like, three people who, like, they wouldn't match well with anybody in there?
Maybe they have, like, a multiple-year system. Like, if you don't get in 1 year, you're waitlisted to the next year. And if you don't, like, two times in a row it doesn't work, then you're out.
Maybe.
Or maybe they don't do actual even numbers and they just, like...
they just fling people in.
Hope for the best.
But I still feel like there are probably people... like, unless we want to actually get into mystical destiny shit... which mm-hmm. I kind of don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that the forest just kind of works with what it gets. It's like, okay, these are the candidates for this week, for this year.
Well, I feel
let's
like
let's see what we can do.
It can still do that within that context. It's just a little bit more. So it's the random chance of who's there. Like, what
right.
set of characters do you have? And then with that, some structure of, well, these are the, you know, somewhat right people. But, like, there is Weiss's seeing Ruby walking away, seeing John walking back, seeing Ruby, that there is some...
there's a little bit of choice in there.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, like, Sorting Hat here, you know?
Okay, yeah. Like,
you can
I have
choose.
Two options. They're
yep.
both shitty.
Not Slytherin! Although, actually, in John's case, it's probably, like...
not Hufflepuff!
Yeah.
Oh, Weiss. He's such a jerk.
Yes, it's true.
But yeah, I still... That makes me wonder about, you know, if you have an odd number of people and everybody is matchable, what happens to that? To that odd person out. Do they just live in the forest for a year?
Maybe like they time
I feel like
warp.
That's happened. I feel like that's happened at least once. Like somebody has just lived in the forest for a year.
Or they don't live actually in the forest. Like the forest, I don't know, moves them into a time bubble separately. It's like, I will release you when someone applicable comes along.
No! no! It's like 100 years later.
Right, and they're still the same age and don't remember anything, and then they wander out and they're like,
their family has assumed they're dead.
Okay, this is the fluffy dark fic.
That's so sad. I feel like maybe, like, somehow they have an indication, like, the forest herds those people into a certain place, and then the school comes and picks them up, and is like, yeah, you didn't get in this year, yeah, you know, come back next year, and then maybe candidates that don't make it just don't make it, like, they do imply that people die.
That's true.
The forest is just like, oh my goodness, no. Never.
We don't like you, we will kill you now.
I really like that idea. That people who don't make it, it's because they would be really terrible bond partners. It has nothing to do, actually, with their skill as hunters or huntresses.
I like that.
Because, I mean, Jean makes it out of the forest. Who would have called that? Like, if somebody's gonna die here, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the forest just, like, is like, okay, guys. Okay. This one, not cool. What is the biggest monster I can send?
We will kill it with fire.
And then you know that there's that one, like, sociopath person who, like, is so good that the forest can't kill it. Because, like, it doesn't have the biggest grims.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some pretty big ones, but, I mean, it's not meant for full-on hunter-huntress, like, versing things. It's meant for trainees, and so, like, eventually one person comes out, but everybody else has been matched by that point. Or herded to the cannot be matched this year point, and then there's this one person, and the forest is just like, red alert! Red alert!
This one needs some help right now.
That one, they send that one to, like, a government agency, let's be honest. Somewhere where this person can, like, go off and happily kill, like, as many grims as they can, because, hey, they're good at that and better killing grims than people, right?
Yep.
Like, my problem is that I don't want to get too far beyond canon,
mm-hmm.
sort of plot-wise, and I don't know whether they integrate her into Beacon. Like, I don't know, like, she's brought in to be, oh, hey, I'm, you know, from this other school, whatever, you know, like, I don't know how they're going to integrate her into that in canon, so I don't.
Right. What we sort of have implication is that she's going to be fighting in the tournament, although I don't know if that's just her assumption or if that's actually an intention.
Right, yes.
Because that could be really interesting, that's sort of the culmination of the fic. So we introduce Penny, and we have the, like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And, well, okay, we introduce Penny, we think she's a civilian. She and Ruby get to be friendly, and Weiss is like, whatever. And then
because
we,
she's a civilian. It doesn't matter.
Right. And then we see her fighting, and she's clearly, like, she's acting like she's got a stat boost, but she's not looking for another partner. Her fighting style is an entirely solo style.
Right.
So she's operating really differently than everybody else, and just, you know, confusing everyone in that. And
yes, making
then,
Weiss jealous.
Right. And then Weiss is super standoffish and, I don't know, bitchy about it.
Yeah.
And Ruby's like, no, she's our friend. She's our friend. We are going to, you know.
Because I have learned about friendship.
Yes.
And now we're going to do the friendship thing.
And we are going to accept her and love her. And she is wonderful for who she is. And Weiss, you're an idiot, you know.
Yes.
But then, like, Team Ruby is rather worried. Okay, Penny is going to do this in a tournament in front of everyone. Like,
how are they
all going to react to that? And okay, Penny, we're going to make you a lot of friends really fast so that things will maybe go well. Here, meet Team John. Pyrrha is really awesome. She's super awesome, like you are awesome.
Goodness.
And then, oh, I don't know, Pyrrha and Penny can just be friends, and that would be amazing, because they would be so competent and wonderful.
But yeah, she gets to meet everybody, because she's at the ball, right?
Yeah.
So they just, like, make her super awesome friends. I would like to side note her and Pyrrha, because Pyrrha basically fights, like she has a stat boost already.
Yes.
Like, her stats are so high. And right now, Jean is giving nothing to the team. like, he's bringing very little.
Uh-huh.
He's getting lots of stat boost from Pyrrha.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's how their relationship is working right now. Like, it'll even out and they'll both get stronger.
Yeah. Like, Pyrrha will eventually... like, that actually, like, works well with his, like, he's got, well, implied in this series, he's got really strong aura in and of himself. He just doesn't use it yet.
Yeah.
So at the point at which Pyrrha is going to be able to tap that and share it with him, like, they're going to be the best ever.
Yes.
Because he just gets to be the giant battery.
Oh, I can just imagine them, like the standard thing where the girl just, like, stands there is like, oh, I'm just, like, supporting you. Let me support you. Only it's Jean and Pyrrha.
Yup.
The reverse. But because Pyrrha, like, basically fights like she's got a stat boost already, but doesn't,
mm-hmm.
She's just that good. Like, her stats are so high to begin with. She and Penny, like, they get along so well because she can actually fight Penny.
I bet Penny, like, and Pyrrha train together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because,
and then,
because
yeah,
Pyrrha can keep up. Like,
exactly.
Even without. Yeah.
So, like, Team John takes it on Penny and are like, yes, obviously.
Yes.
And I think Neptune and Sun are, you know, well, Sun's like, wow, you saved us. That's pretty great. We like you in your debt. Yeah. Neptune's like, good job not letting my soul bond get killed. Thank you. That would have sucked.
Like, he would be cooler than that. Like,
well,
having Sun die would have sucked. Thanks.
Precisely.
Oh, so yeah, she's cool. She's cool with them. Cardan is a douche.
Mm.
So we don't care what Cardan thinks. His partner hasn't gotten his mitigating factor together yet.
Yep. And I think what both Team Ruby and Team John attempt to do is that there's build up within the fic of, like, so how are we going to set up this battle? Like, Maybe we just have Pyrrha fight Penny. Like, we know that can happen.
Or Pyrrha and
Jean. Right. But we could have it so, you know, like, we imply that Penny's got a long-distance person. And because Jean is also playing backup, it's not a 2v2. It's just Pyrrha and Penny. And
right.
Maybe that's how we'll make it work. So they're all strategizing. And then, like, we actually get to the battle and Penny's just like, no. I'm just gonna fight. Thanks, guys. We're good. Like, she totally just... owns it anyways, and people are shocked, but then Team Ruby and Team John are like, we will glare at you and be mad if you...
Well, and she's got the support of her creator dude, right?
Right, Ironwood.
Yeah, which, I mean, the kids totally discount. They don't
True.
Even think about that. They're like, oh my goodness, we have to do all of this and get her liked by so many people, and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, in the actual tournament, when people are like, Ironwood just comes out and introduces her as, you know, exactly what she is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what?
Of course, there's all the stuff in the canon about, like, what the hell Ironwood is actually doing. So I feel like that might be slightly more complicated and theoretically darker, also, again, than we intend.
Why? This fic! We don't want to go to dark fic territory. There is a whole alternate fic out there that we have outlined by
and not
talking
written
around it.
And then that explains why the invading armies are, you know, present for all of this.
Oh, sob.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. But yeah, they get Penny friends and... Yeah.
And Penny totally wins the tournament on her own and gets to hold both trophies, one in each hand.
Yay! I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these. Ruby, is this a good thing?
Like, yeah, you get to have two of them. He's super like, cool.
Oh, I will store them in my stomach. But yeah, I like that. I really like the Pyrrha Jean thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my current favorite moment. So Jean is just like super useless. I feel like when they fight in the tournament, because obviously they do, because everyone wants to see Pyrrha fight, especially now that she's got a like soul bond partner, so she's gonna be even better.
Right.
Right? So like their fight, like they have crowds and crowds of people to turn out. And then Jean basically stands there attempting not to die.
I will stay out of the way and just let you do your thing. I've got a shield. I know how to use it. That's what I'm doing.
Except that when I think about Jean's personality, he wouldn't do that.
That's true.
He would be like, I'm gonna try it. And she's like, oh my goodness.
So Jean occasionally like rampages through like the wild running and swinging, and then like he's on the other side of the arena and she's like, okay. He'll be back in like 3 minutes after he picks himself back up. We'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's basically her like owning everything and him just like, okay, I'm going to try to help. But I feel like she's reworked her style a little to be around what Jean can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because she's good like that. Like, she can go, okay, this is where Jean is likely to go. This is what he will see as an opening. You know?
Uh-huh.
Even if I know it's not an opening, Jean will see it as an opening. So I need to do this. Jean's shield is metal, so it's gonna move on its own a couple of times.
We'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. They get second place.
They do.
Ruby and Weiss do not have their shit together enough to get second.
Maybe fourth.
Yeah. I feel like Ren and Nora don't place just because they don't care enough.
There's got to be, like, a lot of random dancing and, I don't know, pantomime in theirs.
They have tons of fun, but they're not like, we're gonna win! Unlike Ruby and Weiss, who really want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't.
That's got to be awkward.
Weiss, you're a jerk.
This is true. Yay!
Yay! Okay, I think that's it. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for Rhea314. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!